If you're ready to get out of your own way to follow the seven-figure science of success, then welcome to Sell Without Selling. Tune in with renowned international speaker Stacey O'Byrne as she shows you how mastering relationships, achieving the proper mindset, and attaining the necessary motivation will catapult you away from failure and onto your journey to greatness. And now, here is your host, Stacey O'Byrne.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Sell Without Selling. I'm your host, Stacey O'Byrne, and I believe that learning the art and the science of how to sell without selling is the only way to achieve high six and seven figure success. I am so excited to dig into this episode today with you. And really quick, if you're a business owner, entrepreneur, or sales professional, and you haven't hit the level of success that you've wanted or needed, or if you're stuck and needing a pivot in your business and your success, or you just want more, and you understand the importance of having a coach to help identify the blind spots, increase accountability, and help with success strategies to take you, your business, your income, and your success to the next level. If this sounds like something for you, then head over to pivotpointadvantage.com/iwantsuccess. That's pivotpointadvantage.com/iwantsuccess. There's a quick application there that will lead to a phone call with us to see if we're a great fit for each other. Okay, let's do this. So inspirational, you know, I learned a long time ago, it's pretty easy to get inspired. And it's simple to inspire. You know, it's pretty simple and easy to come up with ideas. You're all authors and content creators, and you all have dreams. That's the easy part. The hard part is fueling those dreams with the action. And that's what this entire presentation is about. It's about getting us out of our way so you can get on your way and finally have your way. So let's buckle up. One of the biggest things that holds people back is they don't know what they don't know. And when we don't know what it is we don't know, then we don't know that we have issues that are holding us back from what we've always dreamed of, desired, and deserve. So we're very good at knowing what we don't know. We're very good at knowing what we know. It's what we don't know that we don't know, those blind spots. Those blind spots are what holds us back. And this entire presentation today, with our time together, we're going to start exposing a lot of those blind spots so that, let's just say, action or inaction becomes a choice, because once you see it and hear it, you can learn from it and choose to fix it or not. So why don't you have the dreams that you've always wanted? Why don't you have the goals that you've always needed or wanted? I remember when I decided to be a content creator, and when I decided to be a speaker and a trainer, one of my very first asks was an introduction to Les Brown. And when I asked, the whole room laughed at me, and I didn't understand why people thought that ask was funny. Because reality is, he's the number one motivational speaker in the world. And in order to stay motivated, we have to have a strong mindset. Well, mindset's one of my specialties. That's the N in NLP, neuro. So I couldn't understand why people thought that was funny. And then I realized somebody in the audience had told me to get my head out of the clouds. That's when I realized that most people set the bar too low, and they either hit it or they just miss. 2 weeks later, someone who was in the audience connected me to Les. As a matter of fact, they gave him my cell phone number. I was in an airport and I got a call from an unknown number. For those of you who don't know NLP, it's an amazing sales tool. And whenever I'm bored or don't have anything to do, I'll answer telemarketing calls just because I'm bored and it's something to do. So I answered the call, and the voice on the other line said, "Is this Stacey O'Byrne?" And they never, ever pronounced my last name correctly. And I looked at the number and I realized I didn't know the person. And I said, "Yes, this is Stacey O'Byrne. May I ask who's calling?" And the voice on the other line said, "This is Les Brown." And I laughed and I'm like, "Okay, really, who's punking me?" And the person on the other line said, "No, really, this is Les Brown." And I said, "No, really, who put you up to this and who's punking me?" And they hung up on me. And I just thought that was the rudest thing in the world. Fast forward, seconds later, I get FaceTimed. I don't know about you, but I've never been FaceTimed by a telemarketer. So now I'm trying to swipe my iPhone and it won't open. So I'm swiping like a madwoman in DFW. And finally, my iPhone opens and there he is on the other line. And he goes, "Do you believe me now?" And I go, And he laughed and he goes, "So a mutual friend of ours told me you wanted to talk with me. What is it that you like?" And I said, "For the person to tell me that they give you my number so I could prepare for the conversation." And he started laughing and he goes, "Honey, just talk with me." So we talked, and about an hour into our call, he said, "I heard you wrote a book. And this is the first book I wrote. I never really considered myself an aspiring author. I just created a system in how I leveraged networking, business networking, and relationships. And it's how I built my first seven-figure business 100% from word of mouth marketing." So we're talking about it, and he's asking me about the book. And I very graciously said, "Sir, it's nothing like anything you've ever written." And we're talking about the book, and he said, "It sounds like you're going to impact a lot of lives. Who wrote your foreword?" I laughed and I quickly grabbed a pen and I wrote the word foreword down. And I said, "Complete transparency, I just found out I needed one." And he chuckled and he said, "Stacy, every good book deserves a good foreword. Who are you going to ask?" And I said, "Sir, out of complete transparency, I just found out that I needed one. Can I get back to you on that?" His response was, "I would be honored if you would allow me to write the foreword of your book." So now I'm in the middle of a lawsuit at that time, and we'll get into that in a little bit. So now I'm in DFW, bawling my eyes out, and he said, "Do me a favor, send me your manuscript. Tell me what your favorite chapter is, and I'll write a foreword based off that." And I got really quiet, and he goes, "Honey, what's wrong?" And I said, "I don't have a manuscript." And he goes, "Didn't you write a book?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Do you have a Word document?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Send me that." He goes, "That's your manuscript." And this is how little I knew about the industry. So today, Les has become a dear friend of mine. He's introduced me to tens of thousands of people, unbeknownst to me, the day that I released my book, it's called Secrets to Becoming a Master Networker. This is over a decade ago. The day I released my book, he blasted it out to his entire community, and I sold 30,000 books in about an hour. So I'm telling you this because you don't know what you don't know, and you definitely don't know who knows who. And if you stay in your way, if that itty bitty shitty committee between your ears, that bully on the brain, if that keeps you in your way, then you're never going to get out of your way. Because it's what you don't know that you don't know that's going to continually hold you back. The next thing that we don't know is most people define success ambiguously. Now, let me share with you what the problem is about that. See, our brain is incapable of achieving ambiguity. Our brain can only achieve specificity. Let me give you a couple examples. Have you ever asked somebody, "Honey, what do you want for dinner?" "Oh, I don't care. I don't know." And then you go, "Well, what sounds good?" "Oh, I don't know. I don't want pizza. I don't want Italian. I don't want steak. I don't." And then finally you back up and you go, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. I didn't ask you what you didn't want. I asked you what you wanted." See, people today are really good at either telling us what they want ambiguously, or they're really good at telling us what it is they don't want. How do you define success specifically? See, throughout this presentation and throughout a lot of my presentations, I talk about money. Now, please understand, money is the furthest thing from how I define success. And reality is, it's the thing that most people need. It's the thing that most people want. Be honest with yourself. Could you use more money right now? Do you need more money right now? Would you like more money right now? If the answer is yes, then what's the purpose and intention of defining success ambiguously? Because your brain's incapable of pursuing ambiguity. Think about it. How many times have you ever said, "I'll do this later"? Number one, what is this? Number two, when is later? Have you ever noticed that whenever you define something like that, it never gets done? You know, a lot of people use the word tomorrow. The only thing tomorrow is it's a land where all dreams go to die. Because every day you wake up is today. Tomorrow doesn't exist. It's not on the calendar. Tomorrow is not on the calendar. Someday isn't on the calendar. Later isn't on the calendar. You get to get uber specific about what it is you want to achieve, when it is you want to achieve it, and how you're going to achieve it. See, one of the things, whenever I ask somebody, how do you define success? Their response to me is something along the lines of, I'd like to make more money. So I'll throw a penny at them. And they look at me and go, oh, come on, what's this? And I go, it's more money. It's more than what you had a second ago. And they look at me and they just kind of shake their head and they're like, well, that's not what I mean. That's how your brain takes it. More is a comparative. More compared to what? More, a penny more is more than what you had a few seconds ago. If you want to achieve success, and I mean levels of success that are ground shattering, life changing, you get to get specific. You also get to get really real. Because the number one person we lie to the most is ourself. How frequently do you tell yourself everything's okay when it's not? When bills are past due, or you're behind, or you owe people information, or you owe fill in the blank, whatever. If it's not okay, then what's the purpose of telling yourself it's okay? This isn't a beatdown session. This isn't about beating yourself down and being your own number one bully. It's not about feeding that itty bitty shitty committee or the bully on the brain. It's about bitch slapping that bully on the brain and allowing yourself to be real. Because the only way you're ever going to get to where it is you want to go is by number one, defining it, it being where you want to go, and understanding your starting point, where you're starting. If you're unclear about both of those, you're never going to get to where you're going. That would be like walking into an airport going, I'm here to go on vacation. Where are you going? I don't know. You got to know where you want to go, and you got to know where you're starting. And the more honest you get with yourself about both aspects and what it is you're willing to do in the middle to make it happen, the sooner shift will change. The next question we get to ask ourselves is WTF. And that's a really fair question. And WTF is not what you think it is. It's where's the focus? Where's the focus on what it is you want or what it is you don't want? Do you know that science has proven the average person has between 64,000 and 90,000 thoughts in a day? 64 to 90,000 thoughts in a day. I have no clue how science has come up with these numbers. I just see a bunch of scientists with white coats in a room with clickers going, oh, there was one, but there's another. I don't know how they have identified that information. I just know they have a lot of white paper and a lot of studies on it. What the scary thing is about those statistics, 64,000 to 90,000 thoughts in a day, the same average person, over 90% of those thoughts are focused on what it is they don't want to happen. Now, what happens if you're constantly focusing on what it is you don't want to happen? Your energy goes where your focus flows. Have you ever merged on to whatever freeway or highway system is around you and then see an accident on the side of the road? You look over at the accident, and what happens to your vehicle? What happens to your car? It starts drifting over in the direction you're focused on. Our performance is no different. When we turn around and take our eyes off the prize, when we turn around and we stop focusing on what it is we want to happen, what it is we're doing to create it, well, then reality is we're going to start gliding off to what does have our attention. What's the purpose of focusing, taking your time, your space, your resources, your energy? What's the purpose of focusing on what it is you don't want to happen when you have all this opportunity ahead of you? Now, look, a lot of people tell me you don't understand. You don't understand because you've built 2 7-figure businesses and 6 6-figure businesses. Well, let me share something with you. Life hasn't always been easy for me. You know, when I got discharged from the military, I got discharged with two forms of PTSD. My emergence back into civilian life was very difficult. I trusted nobody and I never felt safe. Now, what happened was I had a lot of lessons that I got to learn from that. Fast forward, I climbed the corporate ladder really quick because the one thing that the military taught me was how to give 100%. Because if I didn't give 100%, the alternative was a body bag ride home. So reality is, knowing how to give 100%, when I was in corporate America, I climbed that ladder really quick and I went from making minimum wage to a very high six-figure income very quickly. As a matter of fact, I went from an entry-level sales position to being responsible for 500 salespeople and 32 profit centers and traveling 200,000 miles a year within 3.5 years. Now, I got laid off during 9/11. You know, the industry I was in tanked because of 9/11. Now I find myself gainfully unemployed like the majority of middle America. Every time I would go on a job interview, I kept being told you're overqualified for this. I kept being told that we can't hire you because you could replace us and our boss. I found myself certifiably unemployable. So I jumped off the cliff and became a very reluctant entrepreneur. And a friend of mine's friend owned a printing company. It was a distressed printing company. It was about $185,000 a year. It was $197,000 in debt. I dug in and I started helping this person build the business. I became a partner with them. I gave them sweat equity. Through this process, we built this company to a thriving $1.5 million company within about 18 months. See, success leaves clues. Part of the clues is specificity and action. I know what I know. I know what I don't know. And I don't know what I don't know, which is why I surround myself with coaches, because they're going to help expose my blind spots. And when I see them, I can learn from them, I can fix them. So fast forward, after 18 months, we've built the American dream. A few years into it, we have a thriving multi-million dollar company along with a $1 million commercial business. I crushed my hand with a 300-pound box and I needed 7 surgeries to rebuild it. Through the course of rebuilding my wrist, I woke up one day to 16 cents in the bank. My business partner embezzled everything from me. Not only did he embezzle everything from me, he turned around and sued me the very next day. See, in our legal system, first strike clouds the water and second strike is smoke and mirrors. He sued me so that my lawsuit would look fraudulent because he knew I was going to sue him. I spent the next 4.5 years in court defending myself from being embezzled on. Not only that, through the process, I had to file bankruptcy because he stopped paying everything that I personally guaranteed. Now, through this entire process, what was I focusing on? On the lawsuit? No, I hired an attorney. You want to know how I hired an attorney? A friend lent me 10 grand for a retainer, and I had to work my ass off. I ended up working 7 different income opportunities. I jumped into a direct sales business. In direct sales, I started making $20,000 and $30,000 a month within 2.5 months. My legal bills every month were about $40,000. So when I tell you WTF, I understand what it's like to be struggling. I had, at that time, both my girls were in school. One of them was in elementary school. The other one was in high school. I understand the imprint years. I understand the programming years. So for me, I had to be very aware of my language. I had to be very aware of my focus because I wanted to avoid projecting any of my existing situations as limitations onto my kids. So for me, WTF, my focus was on continuing to grow my legacy, my future, my wealth. The past is a learning. The present we have responsibility for in order to create our future. So ask yourself, where's the focus? On what it is you want or what it is you don't want? And take responsibility for how it is you're going to create what it is you want. And that all starts with asking yourself, is your ask too small and is your butt too big? This is my number one requested keynote, along with my new book that's releasing pretty soon, I believe, probably in the next 6 weeks. We should have it all wrapped up. So you heard me share the story about when I asked for an introduction to Les Brown, and the whole room started laughing at me, and then one of the gentlemen in the room told me to get my head out of the clouds. See, one of the biggest mistakes people make is they set the bar too low, and they either hit it or they just miss. This has to do with our programming. You get to step back and look at your imprint year. Science has proven that we have been imprinted between the ages of 0 to 7. What was money like when you were growing up? Were you allowed to openly talk about it? Did your parents argue about it? Look, this isn't about blaming mommy and daddy for the bad, because reality is if you're going to blame them for the bad, you get to blame them for the good. This is about really stepping back and looking at who we are and how we are. What you have between your ears is nothing more than a computer operating system. Chances are it's probably outdated. You know, a lot of us who are pursuing our success have been raised by people who either lived through the Great Depression or raised by people who lived through the Great Depression. What was money like during that era? What was scarcity like? What was work ethic like? You know, we live in a totally different world today. So your relationship with success, your relationship with money, your relationship with communication, with work ethic, all of that has been programmed into you. I tell people all the time, a lot of people are walking around with DOS 2.0. If you're too young to know what that is, then look at it as OS 2. Or look at it as Windows 2000. Reality is it's an outdated operating system. We live in a very fast-paced world now. And reality is the only limitations that exist are the ones that we put upon ourselves. Think about it. When you went to school, why did you study for a test? To pass, right? Why did you go to school? To pass, to graduate. What's passing in school? When I went to school, passing was, I think, 70 or 75. Today, passing is 60. What are we teaching people? Now, fast forward that behavior to adulthood. When we're out there adulting, passing today looks like stealing from Peter to pay Paul. Passing today looks like just getting by. Do you know that science has proven the average person maxes out, caps out a capacity of about 38%? 38%. What would happen if every second of every minute of every hour of every day of every week of every month of every year you showed up and gave 100%, knowing that my 100% right now is going to be a little different than my 100% yesterday, which will be different than my 100% tomorrow. But if every day I showed up to give 100%, don't you think that needle would move a heck of a lot faster than if every day I just skated by passing, or if every day I just skated by at 38%? Your number one competition is you, and that's because you ask too small. And then you let your big old butt get in the way. Up your ask and get rid of that butt. Because it all has to do with that programming. So sit back and take a look at this. Science has proven that you have been programmed, imprinted between the ages of 0 to 7. You were a blank slate. You were a blank slate. And then you were introduced to your relationship with money through listening and watching your parents. You were introduced to your relationship with relationships, your relationship with communication, your relationship with work ethics, anything and everything. How many people were told money's the root of all evil, or money's bad, or people argue over money, or maybe you saw people argue over money? You know, a lot of people tell me, well, money doesn't motivate me. You talk about money a lot and that repels me. So my question to people like that is this, and maybe you can try this on for you. Do you have everything in life that you've always dreamed of? Do you have an abundance of money in your life? Are you taking a multitude of vacations a year? Do you have a multitude of investments and real estate, and you're driving your dream car and all of that? If the answer is no, then get curious as to why money doesn't motivate you. Because when we started out this entire conversation, I shared with you the number one person we lied to the most is ourselves. What's the purpose of that? Why would we ever do that? See, in my world, we don't ask why. All why does is force us to look at drama and trauma and story. There's no solution looking back like that. If you ask yourself, what's the purpose? Get really curious about those answers. Sometimes it's in order to not feel bad. That's okay, but don't you feel uncomfortable? And doesn't uncomfortable feel bad? What if we got really real with things and then got out of our way to do something about it? So we've been imprinted between the ages of 0 to 7. Then between the ages of 8 to 13, we move into modeling. Modeling is where the little girl starts dressing like mommy, walking like mommy, putting makeup on like mommy, doing her hair like mommy. The little boy walks like daddy, talks like daddy, does things that daddy does. That's modeling. It's where we take those programs and we start practicing it in our environment when we're safe. Then at the age of 13, 13 to 21, this is where our teenagers lovingly have that frontal lobotomy. They take the frontal lobe out, they put it on a shelf, they go, I'll be back in about a decade. I'm going to go lose my flipping mind right now. They move into socialization. This is where they take everything we've taught them in imprint and modeling, and they go out and practice it in their world, known as junior high and high school. And then at the age of 21 to 23, usually, that's when they exit out of socialization and then they move into what's known as business persona. This is where our work ethic, our relationship with professionalism, and all of that is established. It's also about the time period that we call our mom or our dad and say, I'm sorry, I really didn't know it all. You were right. What were you programmed in? How were you programmed? Because that's how you're operating today. And just like you can't outrun a bad diet, you can't out-earn limitations. You can't outperform a low self-esteem or self-worth. How do you see yourself? How does everyone else see you? When you think about yourself, do you think about how strong you are? Or do you think about how weak you are? Do you call yourself stupid? Do you call yourself lazy? Do you tell yourself you're tired? Do you tell yourself you're burned out? Do you always accuse yourself of procrastinating? See, how you see yourself is how everyone around you is going to see you, because you're creating a self-fulfilling prophecy by continually allowing that itty-bitty shitty committee, that board meeting, that bully on the brain to beat you down. It's really time for you to step back and ask yourself, what's the purpose of me looking at myself like this? What's the purpose of me talking about myself or to myself like this? You want change to happen, you get to be the change that you want. Dwayne Dyer always used to say, change the way you looked at the world around you will change. Change the way you talk with yourself, other people will talk with you differently. Change the way you see yourself, other people will see you differently. This isn't one of these fake it till you make it kind of things. This is you really get to roll up and do the work. You have to do the inner work for the outer to ever work. So many people want that magic pill. So many people want that script. Just tell me what to say. Tell me what to do. Reality is that computer operating system is there for a reason. The programs that are running just have defaults in it. They have viruses in it. Do the work. The results will come. It's really time for you to allow yourself to restart, reset, and refocus. Reality is this: every second of every minute of every hour of every day is a new opportunity. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I'll start tomorrow, or I'll start on Monday? What is the purpose of waiting to change your life? Change happens in a second, and it's the second that you choose to allow it to change. When are you going to choose to allow things to be different? When are you going to get out of your way so you can get on your way so you can finally have your way? I have proven success is a science. I am a living byproduct of it. 35 years ago, 30 years ago, when I got out of the military, I was suicidal. I had every reason to never live again. I had every desire to never live. When I got embezzled from, all that came flooding back. See, the biggest mistake I ever made was I attached my self-worth to my net worth. Reality is, money comes and goes. We are the one constant in our life. We owe it to ourselves to allow ourselves to be the best version of us. It all starts with a choice. It all starts with a decision. And you get to ask yourself, when am I going to choose to allow myself to live the life I dream? Because we really have two choices. You can dream about the life you want to live, or you can live the life that you dream. Your success is important to me, and it's also important to me to make sure that these episodes are valuable to you and for you. I would love for you to do three things right now. First, I'd love for you to head over to Facebook and join our Sell Without Selling community. That's head over to Facebook and join our Sell Without Selling community. Second, I'd love for you to hop over to Instagram and follow us at Pivot Point Advantage. Let's hop over to Instagram, follow us at Pivot Point Advantage. And second, I'd love to chat with you and get feedback on the episodes and find out any topics that you're interested in to help make these episodes more powerful and helpful to you achieving the success that you've always dreamed of, desired, and know you deserve. Head over to pivotpointadvantage.com/talktostacy. That's pivotpointadvantage.com/talktostacy. Let's get a 15-minute call on the schedule. Always remember this. Choice is a powerful thing, and suffering is always optional. Get out of your way so you can get on your way, so you can finally have your way. Thanks so much for listening, and I look forward to talking with you soon.
Whether it's mastering your mindset, communication, or success, we have more ways to keep you on your journey to greatness. Be sure to visit us at pivotpointadvantage.com for exclusive online training programs, success-specific courses, and more ways to connect to Stacy directly to help you achieve the financial success you've always desired, dreamed, and deserved. That's all available on pivotpointadvantage.com.